start again from Umr Bchir Bar Abba, the first big line on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Umr Bchir Bar Abba, Umr Bi Yochanan. Kol ha-Nevi'im kulam lo nishnabu el lemesi bita l'tamad chacham, u la'osa pragmati l'tamad chacham, u la'mahana tamad chacham min echosav. Aval tamidich ha-chomim atzman, ayin lo ro'as Elohim zul ha-secha. Yas ala mechak elom. Okay, all the Nevi'im, all the big things that it says in the Nevi'im that will be reward for the future, that only refers to a person who marries his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or who does business with a Talmud Chacham to give him a chance to make profit, or a person who gives money to a Talmud Chacham, just outright like that. Aval tamidei chachamim atzman, ayin lo ros elokim zul asecha, yasem chakelo. The schar that a Talmud Chacham himself will get, right, that is something that no one has ever seen. Totally a spiritual thing. Okay, we'll come back and we'll explain what this means. Rabbi Bar Abba Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Bar Abba said the name Rabbi Yochanan, another thing. Kol ha-Nevi'im kulam l'nisnabu el-lemosa Moshiach. All the things that are mentioned in Nevi'im, that's the schar that will be in Yemosa Moshiach. Aval la'olam haba, ayin lo'ros elokim zul asecha. Olam haba, which is totally spiritual, that's something that no eye has ever seen. And this, that what it says in the Nevi'im, all the miraculous things that the Nevi'im say will happen, is talking about Yemos HaMashiach, that argues on Shmuel. D'omer Shmuel, ein bein olam hazel, Yemos HaMashiach, ala shivud malchios bilvat. The only difference between the way the world is now and the way it will be when Mashiach comes is shivud malchios. Shenemar, ki lo yechdal evyom mikerev ha'aretz. There'll still be poor people, even in the time of Mashiach. So it won't be miraculously different than now. So if the Nevi'im saw all these miraculous things, that can't be for Yemos HaMashiach, according to Shmuel, because according to Shmuel, the world of Yemos HaMashiach is basically the world that we know it now, except for the fact that we won't be subjugated to the nations of the world. V'om Rab Chia Baraba, Om Rab Yochanan, kol ha-Nevi'im kulam lo nishnabu el le'bali tshuva. What the Nevi'im saw, all those miraculous things, that's the reward that will be for Bali tshuva. But a tzaddik gomer, somebody who never did averus, was always a tzaddik, that no one saw besides the Rabbanu Shlom. And that, that argues on Rabbi Avoh. The fact that a tzaddik gomer is greater than a Baal Tshuva, and the reward that a tzaddik gomer gets is greater than the reward of a Baal Tshuva, that argues on Rabbi Avoh. The Omer Rabbi Avoh, Mokum Shabali Tshuva Omdim, tzaddikim gemurim Einam Omdim. A place where a Baal Tshuva can stand, even a Tzaddik Gomer can't stand, meaning that Baal Tshuva are greater than Tzaddikim Gemurim. Shenemar, Shalom, Shalom, LaRochok VeLaKorov. It says that peace to the far one and the close one. The far one is the Baal Tshuva, who was far away, and he became close. And Korov is the person who's close all the time. He's a Tzaddik Gomer. And who comes first? Rochok Bereshia VeHodr LaKorov. First is the far one, then the close ones. You see that the Baal Tshuva is greater than the Tzaddik. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Lecha, my Rachok, show you Rachok midvar Aveira mikora. Rachok means that he was far away from Aveira to begin with. So that's talking about the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the far one. Far doesn't mean far away from the Rabbanu Shalom. Far means far away from Aveira. My Korok, show you Korok midvar Aveira v'nisrachiv imenu. He was close to the Aveira, and then he went away. That's talking about the Baal Tshuva. So what's it called? The way that Rabbi Yochanan learned the pasuk is Rachok means far from sin, Korov means close to sin. So he learned that the Baal Tshuva is not as great as the Tzaddik Gomer. Versus Hashda, my eye in Lo Rasa, what does it mean? What didn't the eye see? Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he's a Yayin HaMeshumer B'Anovav Misheshis HaMeberashis. The Schar of Olam Haba is compared to wine inside the grapes, the grapes that were created during the 6 days of creation. Okay, but we'll go back all over this as soon as we finish the two dots. Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni Omar ze Eden, shelo sholto bo ayin kol beria. Right, the schar of Olam Haba is called Eden, which no one ever saw. No one ever saw Eden. Gemara says, Tomer Adam Arishin hekechen hoya. Right, where was Adam Arishin? If he never saw Eden, where was he? The Gan, he was in Gan. Gan Eden is not the same thing. It's Gan de'Eden. So Adam Arishon was in the Gan, which was a more physical part of the reward of Olam Haba. It's in a physical place. But the Eden was a totally spiritual. The Shema Tomar Hu Gan Hu Eden, Talmud Lomar, Venar Yotze Me Eden, Vahashkos Sagan. If you think that Eden and Gan are the same thing, Gan Eden means one thing. Can't be. Because it says that a river went out of Eden to what's it called, to irrigate the Gan. Mashma that Eden and the Gan, Gan Lechud, the Eden Lechud, two separate things. Okay, let's see Rashi. Lo nishnabu hatobos v'hanechamos. All the good, comforting things that the Nevi'im say, which are all very miraculous things, those were only for people who support Talmidei Chachamim, but not Talmidei Chachamim themselves, only for Yemos HaMashiach, but not Olam Haba, and only for Balei Tshuva, only for Tzadikim Gemurim, not only for Balei Tshuva, not for Tzadikim Gemurim. Those are the three things that Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ayin lo rasa, lo nireis, lo nigleis, lo shum navi. These things, the greater reward, was never revealed to a navi. It's something beyond what the eye can see. Rachok, shoyo rachok, kol yama min aveira, dahinu tzadik mikaro. He learns rachok, doesn't mean rachok from Hashem, but rachok means far from aveira. Okay, so there's a few things here. The Marsha says that all these things that are mentioned are things that are a mixture of gashmias and ruchnias. For instance, a person who supports a Talmud Chacham, marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. There's a gashmias dika part over here, right? The support or whatever. And there's a ruchnias dika part, the learning of the Talmud Chacham that he's connected to. So since it's both gashmias and ruchnias, that's what the Nevi'im saw. They saw the world of reward that will be a mixture of gashmias and ruchnias. But the world that's Olam Haba, that's total ruchnias, that, what's it called, the Nevi'im didn't see. And the Talmud Chacham himself is kula ruchnias. Same thing, Yemos HaMashiach is gashmias and ruchnias. Not a spiritual world, it's a physical world with a lot of ruchnias. So that the Nevi'im could see. But Olam Haba is a totally spiritual world. That the Nevi'im didn't see. The Damesik Eliezer says that it says a person who's Mesi Bito the Talmud Chacham, right? Those things the Navi could see. Why? Because those things, it's possible, he says different pshat over here. What's Ayin Lo Rasa Lo Kings Lo Secha? Cute pshat. There's two cute pshat in there, the Mesik Eliezer. First thing he says is like this. He says that a person who marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham or does business with a Talmud Chacham, or gives money to a Talmud Chacham, can do it shalom l'shem shamayim. He wants a benefit from it. So he does it, right, for his own benefit. He wants to have a son-in-law as a Talmud Chacham. So he can do that shalom l'shem shamayim. But the Talmud Chacham himself has to learn Torah l'shem shamayim. He can't do what he does shalom l'shem shamayim. Says, therefore, the Nevi'im could see the reward of a person who does the first three things, because he could also see the reward. He's allowed to look to the reward. But a Talmud Chacham, Ayin Lo Rasa Lo Kings, there the reward can't be seen by his eye. That has to be something that only the Rabban Shalom knows. He has to do it L'Shem Shamayim. He has to learn L'Shem Shamayim. Other people can support him for their own schar, but he can't learn for his own schar. So his schar is unseen. Other people's schar could be seen. That's one pshat he says. Another pshat he says is that what the Nevi'im saw is a rich man who marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. That's a big deal. But you know what's a bigger deal? A Talmud Chacham who marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. He said, that's even a bigger deal, because a Talmud Chacham who's poor would rather marry his daughter off to the son of a Gvir, so he'd make some money. If a Talmud Chacham marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, that's already schar that nobody ever saw. Right? If a rich person, he's rich anyway, so what does he care if he marries his daughter? He'll have both worlds, right? But a Talmud Chacham, who's poor, would rather marry his daughter off to somebody rich. And if he marries his daughter off to another poor Talmud Chacham, that's already something special. The Ksav Sofer says that you need all of these three things, because each one represents a different idea. The person who marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham doesn't lose anything, right? Doesn't lose his daughter. So he shows he loves Torah. So he wants his daughter to be married to a Talmud Chacham. But it doesn't show that he's willing to lose money because of Torah. He loves it, but there's a limit how much you can love Torah too. But the guy who does business with a Talmud Chacham doesn't necessarily lose anything, right? But at least he's giving something up, right? In the end, he may make good profit with this Talmud Chacham. He makes a business deal together with him so that Talmud Chacham benefits together with him. The guy who just takes money and gives it to a Talmud loses. So it's only when you have all three things do you have a person who you see loves Torah, right? It's possible for a person to support a Talmud Chacham and not love Torah. He just wants to fulfill his responsibility towards this guy. If you marry off your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, it means you love Torah. So here we have things, a person who not only loves Torah, but is also willing to sacrifice for Torah. That's two separate things. That's why you need both of them. The Ksav Sofer also says, it's mashma over here, that a Talmud Chacham is greater than somebody who supports a Talmud Chacham. And yet we know that's not the case. Zulun is mentioned before Yisachar. People who support Talmidei Chachamim are sometimes even greater than a Talmud Chacham. So which is it? Here it's mashma that the Talmud Chacham's reward is greater than the Machzik Torah. And from the other case over there, that Zvulun comes before Yisachar, right? Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned the brach of Zvulun, Yismach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, the Yisachar b'olecha. It's mashma that Zvulun is greater than Yisachar. People who support Talmidei Chacham are greater. So he says like this, based on what he said before, where a person marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, where he doesn't lose anything. He just, what's it called? He gains a son-in-law, the Talmud Chacham, right? Then the Talmud Chacham is greater. Where he, is also pragmatia with a Talmud Chacham, so he takes a risk of losing something, he shares his profits with the Talmud Chacham, right? There, what's it called? They're equal. And where he, a person is megadol a Talmud Chacham, he supports a Talmud Chacham when he's young, and raises him up to be a Talmud Chacham. So the reason the person's a Talmud Chacham is because this person supported him from the time that he was young, then the person who supports is greater than the Talmud Chacham. Because all the Talmud Chacham has is because of him. So in the other cases, either they're equal, or the Talmud Chacham is greater. But in a case where a person, mamish, raises a Talmud Chacham and supports him, and makes him a Talmud Chacham, there the person who supports is greater. He says there's a hint, the Ksav Sofer. We say the Yisachar is spelt with two sins, but we read it as if there's only one sin. Right? It's supposed to be Yisachar, but we read it Yisachar. So he says, what's the reason? He says, Lamaisa, it's Yisachar means Yesh Sachar. That's what Leah said. Yesh Sachar, right? Lepulasi. There was reward to what I did. So it should be Yesh Sachar. There is reward for a Talmud Chacham. But the sin that spells the word Sachar is missing, because that reward is never seen. So therefore we say it Yisachar, but not Yesh Sachar, because the Sachar, right, is hidden, because no eye ever saw the reward that's coming to a Talmud Chacham. So the Ksav Sofer says that's why we read Yisachar only as Yisachar, and we leave out the second sin. Marsha here says, a pshat that most people don't know, when they say that, you know, Bali Tshuva are greater than a Tzadik Gomer, he says it's hard to accept that a person who sinned and did Tshuva should be greater than a person who never sinned. Therefore, the Marsha says, not talking about a person who sinned and did Tshuva. That's not talking about that kind of Bali Tshuva. It's talking about a person who was tempted to sin and almost came to sin, and in his mind he already was thinking about doing the sin, but he never did it. That person, he both never sinned, but he had the temptation. He's greater than a person who stam never sinned and never had the temptation either. That, he says, is what it means. But a Baal Tshuva who actually sinned and did Tshuva is not greater, according to anyone, than a Tzadik Gomer.
Why is that called
Baal Tshuva? Because Baal Tshuva means over here he was close to doing the Aveira. In fact, the Gemara is much like that, right? It's mashma karov laveira. He was close to aveira. Not that he actually did it. He was just close to doing it. So Baal Tshuva means he held himself back when he had the temptation. That's called tshuva, means he returned from a point of no return. Okay? But he never actually went over the line. That's what the Marsha says. And the Ksav Sofer says a cute idea how it works out and why Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue about it. He says like this. He says it's talking about a guy who already ate a chatzi shir, right? A chatzi zayas of treif. As a machlokus, whether a chatzi shir is osur min haTorah or not. Did he do anything wrong yet? Right? Reish Lakish holds that chatzi shir is not osur min haTorah, and Rabbi Yochanan holds chatzi shir is osur min haTorah. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, when he ate that chatzi zayas, he was already over an aveira. So he's not better than tzaddik gomer, because he was already over an aveira. That kind of bal tshuva is not greater. Okay? So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has to learn the pasuk that it's not talking about a bal tshuva being greater than a Talmud Chacham, just the opposite. It's talking about a person who is far away from Aveira or a person who is close to Aveira. Okay? But according to Reish Lakish holds that Chatzis Shir is not Osur Ben HaTorah. So when he ate that half a Kazayas, he didn't do anything wrong yet. He just was involved in thinking about finishing the other half. So that kind of person already, is greater, that kind of Bal Tshuva is greater than a Tzadik Gomer. So each one goes according to his pshat. Rabbi Yochanan holds a Bal Tshuva is greater, because it's possible to eat a half a kazayas, just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan holds that a Tzadik Gomer is greater. And Reish Lakish held that a Bal Tshuva is greater. Okay. The Radvaz says something similar to the Marsha. He says that a person, who was over an Aveira and did Tshuva is not as great as a person who never was over. But the person who had the opportunity to do the Aveira and he didn't take that opportunity is greater than the person who never had the opportunity. That's what it's talking about over here. Okay, others say that it depends what kind of tshuva you did. If you did tshuva me'ava, then all the aveiras you did became mitzvahs. It's hard for a tzaddik gomer to ever have that many mitzvahs, because here the guy has double mitzvahs. He has the mitzvahs that he did as mitzvahs, and he has all the aveiras become mitzvahs. And a tzaddik gomer just did mitzvahs, so it usually doesn't not as big. But if you do tshuva me'ira, then the aveiras remain aveiras, they just become shogeg. Then, for sure, a Bal Tshuva isn't as great as a Tzadik Gomer. He has more mitzvahs than this one has. And he says an interesting pshat. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Rabbanu Shlom told Yeravam ben Nevat, do Tshuva, and I'll walk with you and David HaMelech in Gan Eden. Right? You, me, and David HaMelech will walk in Gan Eden. Okay? So Yeravam said, who's walking first? Who's first in line? So the Rabbanu Shlom said, David is first. He said, if that's the case, I'm not interested. So why in the beginning, when the Rabbanu Shlom told him, he told him, you, David, and me. Mashma, he's first. When he asked the question, then the Rabbanu Shlom changed the order, and he said, no, David's first. So he says that in the beginning, the Rabbanu Shlom thought that Yeravam ben Nevat at least would do tshuva me'ava. If he did tshuva me'ava, then he's a greater Bal Tshuva than even a Tzadik Gomer. So he comes first, right? But then he asked, who's first? That means he wasn't doing it L'shem Shemayim. Wasn't doing it totally me'ava. He's doing it for reward. He wants to be first in line. Once he's not doing it anymore me'ava, he's doing it only, me'ira, because he wants reward, then he's not better than a tzaddik gomer. So then he's second. The only problem is, David HaMelech was a Bal Tshuva. Right? He wasn't a tzaddik gomer. He was also a Bal Tshuva. But David HaMelech was a Bal Tshuva me'ava for sure. So he was like a tzaddik gomer already. So the only shaila was Yeravam going to be as great as that, or not as great as that? That was the question. The Sama Dechaya says of another pshat, why is a Bal Tshuva greater than a tzaddik gomer? Because a Bal Tshuva has a mitzvah that a tzaddik gomer doesn't have, tshuva. Right? The tzaddik gomer never got the mitzvah of tshuva. But the Bal Tshuva has a mitzvah that this one never could have. He has the mitzvah of tshuva. Another pshat that I Pashat said myself for years, and I see now that a Tefillah L'Moshe says the same word. I obviously say it means something different. It's not the pshat in the Gemara. The Makom Shabali Tshuva Omdim Afilu Tzadik Gomer. There's places that a Bal Tshuva is allowed to be that even a Tzadik Gomer couldn't be there. People who never were exposed to Chait, if they are put into situations, right, then the environment is going to be very dangerous for them because they don't know how to deal with it. But it's Bal Tshuva who was in those situations, right? He could be around those places. It won't bother him. He's already, it's like a person who's vaccinated. If you already had the disease a little bit, you are immune. But if you never had the disease, then it's very dangerous to be exposed to it. So there's certain things that Bal Tshuva can be exposed to that doesn't bother them. The opposite is also true. Sometimes when a person is towing Tamadi Surah, he had a taste of an Avera, so then he has more of a of an attraction to it. Somebody who never tasted the Avera is not attracted to it at all. So it could work both ways, but that's what he says. But Makom Shebali Tshuva, there's a place where Bali Tshuva could stand that even a Tzadik Gomer couldn't stand. Okay? I don't remember which Rebbe, maybe it's the Ger Rebbe, who says, oh no, the Kutzke Rebbe. It has a Kutzke. The Kutzke Rebbe says in a very biting way, as usual. He says, "B'makom shebali tshuva om d'mafilu tzadik gomer eino yochalamo," because it stinks there. The place where bali tshuva stand, even a tzadik gomer wouldn't want to stand because the smell is too great. Okay, that's not the pshat here, but in any case, that's what he says. Lastly, with this bali tshuva and tzadik gomer, I always like to say that in the end, both are true. The shaila is which is the main thing. But in one respect, a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzadik Gomer. In one respect, a Tzadik Gomer is greater than a Baal Tshuva. The idea being the following. In any moment of choice, free choice, a Baal Tshuva has a greater schar than a Tzadik Gomer. Since he's been there, he did the Avera, he's more attracted to these things, it's harder for him to choose good. Right, so he's not as accustomed to doing good as the tzaddik gomer. So at any moment that they have to make a choice, he keeps Shabbos, and the other one keeps Shabbos. The other one's keeping Shabbos. He basically is didn't keep Shabbos. It's not a shaila by him. He doesn't wake up in the morning and say, "Should I smoke this Shabbos?" But the Baal Tshuva who smoked on Shabbos has to make a conscious decision: should he smoke or not? So he gets more schar for deciding not to smoke on Shabbos than the other one who just doesn't smoke because that's what he's used to. On the other hand, over the lifetime of both of them, the Tzadik Gomer has more of a life of mitzvahs than the other one because he had a time that he didn't do mitzvahs. So it evens out, right? If you look at the quantity of mitzvahs, the Tzadik Gomer is ahead. If you look at the quality of mitzvahs, the Baal Tshuva is ahead. That's why it says, B'makom Shebali Tshuva Omdim. If you take any moment and freeze it in time where they stand, the Baal Tshuva is going to be greater. But if you take the whole life and compare them together, they'll be equal. That's why the halacha is that in the time when they didn't bury people of different levels together, you weren't allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a chassid. But you were allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a Baal Tshuva. One of them is greater. According to the Gemara, they're not equal. One's greater than the other. So how could you ever bury them together? But the way I'm saying it's very good. They're only different in Mila at any one moment in time. But if over the lifetime, they equals out. So Mila, when they're buried, you can bury them together. Now, I'm say that's also a deal. The Makom Shebali Tshuva Omdim. When they're still standing, then they could be different. But when they're lying, right, down already, and they want to be buried, then what's it called? They're equal. Okay, let's go on. What's Yayin HaMeshumer Ba'anova? So the Marsha says, Yayin is in Gematria Sod, secret. Something hidden. Just like wine is hidden in the grape, right? Olam Haba is hidden in, can't see it. It's something hidden completely. Not only that, it's like Yayin from Sheshis Yimei Bereishis. Sheshis Yimei Bereishis, the wine was created from nothing. So it's closer to nothing. Closer to something very, very hidden. No one ever saw that wine ever. It was always hidden inside the grape. Olam Haba is like wine, the first wine that was ever created. It was created from nothing. No one ever saw it. So too, Olam Haba is totally beyond our comprehension. The Divrei Shaul says a little bit different idea. It says you have a grape, you eat grapes, you don't taste wine. It's impossible to feel the wine while it's still connected to the grape. It's only after you squeeze it out of the grape that now it has a different taste. It doesn't taste like grapes anymore. Now it tastes like wine. So too, as long as we're in a world where there's physical and spiritual, it's hard to really feel what the spiritual is really like. It's only when the physical will be taken away completely and the spiritual will be total that it has a completely different feel. So therefore, it's impossible to know what Olam Haba is, because as long as we're in a physical world, which is like the grape, it's impossible to really feel what the wine is like. Okay, let's go on. Finish the parak. Tana Rabbana. Maisa Shechola Beno Shel Rav Gamliel, right? Rav Gamliel's son got sick. Shogar Shnei Talmidei Chacham Eitzel Rabbi Chanina Madosi. So he sent to Rabbi Chanina Madosi, the Rebbe. Rabbi Chanina Madosi was a miracle worker, Right? His tefillahs were exceptionally potent. So Rabbi Gamliel sent two Talmidei Chachamim to inform Rabbi Chinina ben Dosa, Levakish Olav Rachman, they should daven for him. Kivin Shirao, some, all Olaliyah. But when he saw them coming, he went up to the, what's it called, I guess to his study, which was upstairs. Right? Went up to the second floor. Ubikesh Olav Rachman, and he started to daven for him. Biridoso, when he came down, Omar Lohem, Lechu, Shechalzoso Chama, go home, he's okay. Right? The, what's it called? The fever left him. Omar Lovichi Noviato, like you're a prophet. We didn't even tell you what we came for. Right? And you're telling us, go home, because the fever went away. Omar Lohem, Lo Novi Onochi, Velo Ben Novi, I'm not a Novi, not the son of a Novi. Elakach Mikubloni, this is what my Mesorah is. Im Shgurat philosophy, if I daven and it flows, then Yodei Anishu Mekuvel. Then I know that God accepted it and the person's going to be okay. V'im Lav Yodei Anishu Meturif. If not, I know that it's a mixed up tefillah, it's not accepted, or that the guy is finished. Right, he's a trefer. Yoshu V'kasu V'kivnu Ososha. So they wrote down the time that Ram Gamliel was davening, Rabbi Chanin Mendoza was davening, right? And when they got back to Ram Gamliel, not 1 second early or late, the exact time that he was davening is the exact time that all of a sudden my son got better. This is what happened when you were there. At that moment, that's when the fever left him. And he asked for water to drink. So that was the, that was the thing. So Marsha says, he wasn't a Navi. How did he know that? How did he know that that he should daven for Rabbi Gamliel's son? So he says to Marsha that he knew Rabbi Gamliel's son was sick. When he saw the two Talmidei Chachamim come, he figured things were getting worse, he better daven. That's why Marsha doesn't say it. If he knew he was sick, why wasn't he daven before? It could be he heard that he was sick, but he didn't realize how serious it was. So he may have davened before, but not with a real, he didn't think it was a big deal, right? The kid has a cold or whatever. He has a virus. But Lamaisa, when he saw that he sent two Talmidei Chachamim from Ram Gamliel's household were coming to see him, he figured things must really be serious. So then he went up to daven, intensely to heal him. Okay, Vishuv Maisa, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, another Maisa, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. He went to learn by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was greater than him in Torah. He was his Rebbe. The Chola ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son got sick while he was there in his yeshiva learning. Omer lo Chanina beni bakish olav rachmas. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came to Chanina Mendoza, he said, daven for him. Okay? The Yichya, he should live. He's very sick, right? He's in danger of his life. So the Rebbe came to the Talmud and said, daven for my son. So Rabbi Chanina Mendoza put his head between his knees, as a sign of total concentration and hachna, right? Like we say tachna, right? Falling, like prostrating himself before the Rebbe, and to daven. And he davened for him. The choya, and he survived. If I would have put my head between my knees all day, nobody would have paid any attention to me. In other words, the Rebbe Hashem wouldn't have answered my prayers. Amra lo ishto, so his wife said to him, v'chi chanina gadol mimcha, your student chanina is greater than you. He davens and things work, and you daven, and you're telling me that it wouldn't have worked. So you're going to tell me that this Talmud is greater than you are? Amra lo, laugh. No, I'm greater than him. Elohu dome ke'eved lefnei ha'melech. He's like a servant who is always standing in front of the king. So the servant go in and out, right, and the king listens to him whenever he has to. He's not because he's so great, just the opposite. He happens to be an Evan who's always around the king. I'm like a prince, but I'm not always in front of the king. And therefore, if I come in, an Evan has to bring me in or whatever. He has to announce me. I can't just walk in whenever I want. The servants can walk in whenever they want, but the prince can't walk in whenever he wants. The minister can't walk in whenever he wants. Let's see Rashi, and then we'll see what's here. Chalatzto chama, shalatzto. Chalatzto means like you take off your tefillin. Chalitza sa tefillin. So the fever left him. Nitla migufo hachama. The heat fever left him. Hu hacholi hakodcho chalatzto. The sickness is a fever. So the fever left him. Lashon yacholas mehem. Lo chasartim shoa. It was exactly the moment that he was davening. Was exactly the moment that he got better. Ke'eved ben bayis nichnas v'yotzei shlo b'shus. An eved is always there, so he can go in and out whenever he wants. Kisar lefnei amelech she'eno rogel lova lefon. He's not always there. So here, a few things. First of all, the Marsha says that the real reason why Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's tefila was more effective than Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is because sometimes a person can't daven for himself or his own child is like him. We had it before. Ein chovish motzi asma b'nefesh asurim, right? Mater asma. A person who's locked in jail can't get himself out. He needs somebody else to get him out. So sometimes a person in the midst of a tzara can't get himself out. You need the tefillahs of other people. In that respect, sometimes the tefillahs of other people are more effective. And that's the reason why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai actually asked Rabbi Chanina Mendoza to daven. Not because of the reason he said to his wife. But his wife misunderstood. And she thought that the reason Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wouldn't be answered because he wasn't as great as Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. So she asked him, is he greater than you? So he answered her according to her understanding. No, you understood that he's greater and that's why his davening. I meant something else completely. But even according to you, it's not because he's greater, it's just because he's more frequent to the Rabbanu Shalom. And what is that idea of being frequent to be in front of the Rabbanu Shalom? So he says, they say like this, that there are certain gedolim who are basically osik and tefillah all the time, right? They're osik and making yichudim, like chassidus or rebbes. That's their expertise. So they're always constantly davening, constantly before. They're like the eved lefnei Hashem. They not as great, but they're constantly doing it. So for them, it's easier. The tefillah is easier. Then there's people who are osik and talmud Torah, so they're not constantly davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. They're osik and tzarchei tzibur, right? Regular gedolim. So they're like the tsar, they're like the minister, but they're not always around. The Chassidus Rebbe is more like he's always around. He's not greater, he's like the Eved, who's always around. Therefore, he's the one who, what's it called, maybe his tefillahs are easier to be answered. Okay, let's finish up the parak. V'om Rab Chia Bar Abba, Om Rab Yochanan, Al Yispal Odom Ela B'Vayi Sheish Shom Chalonos. A person should not daven except in a place that has windows. We had this before, and the Marsha says, one of the reasons, we had other reasons before, you should be able to mechaven towards Yerushalayim, you should, what's it called, it should be light, you have more kavana. The Marsha says over here, the reason in a house to have windows is because psychologically, if the place is completely closed up, you get the feeling your tefillahs can't get out. If there are windows, you get the feeling that it's possible for the tefillah to escape here. So and that's why we had before that on a cloudy day didn't make a tainus because psychologically people said, hey, there's a machitza, the tefillahs can't get up the clouds. So only on a clear day you can have that feeling. So like we said before, sometimes what you see physically makes an impression, even spiritually. And if you see clouds, it makes you feel like your tefillahs aren't going up, even though you know that it has nothing to do with the clouds. And if you see a house that's closed up, you don't feel like your tefillahs are getting out, so you don't daven with the same kavan. So therefore, you should have a house with windows. Shenemar, the chavin psichole ba'alise neged Yerushalayim. By Daniel, it says, he used to daven in a place where there were windows open. According to this, Marsha, it has to be windows that can open, or open windows. But if they're windows that just are glass, but they're not open, then it's the same thing. The tefillahs can't get through the glass either. Or maybe not. Maybe, at least psychologically, when you can look outside, it gives you the feeling that your tefillahs can go somewhere. Omer of Kahana, Chotzif Olay Manda Matzli B'Biksa. Now, Biksa, Rashi says, let's see Rashi first, Chalonos, Shegormim Lo Shechavin Libo, Shumistako Klape Shamayim V'Libo Nichna. Rashi says, different reason. When you look out the window, you look up to heaven and you feel subdued and modest because the Rabban Shem is so high above you that makes your Kavanas better. According to that, for sure, a closed window, even a window you can't open is okay as long as you can look up to the heavens. Matzli b'biksa, b'bika. Biksa is in a valley is a bika? Gully? Valley, okay. So in an open place. Kishehu b'mokum tzniyas cholol of emes melech v'libo nishvik. It's not a mokum tzanua. It's too open. So that's bika. So what's the Marsha says, what's the connection? because since we're saying that davening in a place where there's windows is better, so davening in a place where there's no walls at all, right, completely open, should be even better. Mashallah, no. That's already parutz. Davening out in the open is not a proper thing. You have to daven more in mokum tzanua. Okay, v'omer of kahana, chotzif olayman, the mefarish chatoi, person, just like it's a chutzpah to daven in a field, in a valley, it's a chutzpah to publicize your sins. Shenamer ashrei nesui peshe kesui chatoa. Okay, but person is fortunate when he, covers his sins. And the Svarim say, the Gemara says, in Yuma, that's only by sins being on the makom. That's a chutzpah to say that I sinned against God, right? It's like embarrassing, insulting to the Rabbanu Shalom. People, but if you sinned against people, then it's proper to say it, so people, know that you did tshuva also, and the person also that you sinned against feels that, you know, you really take it seriously. Okay, now, just the bika over here, the Tosus here, Esakasha, that Lechora, Yitzchak Avinu, who was Mesakin Mincha, daven in a field. So how could it be that you're not allowed to daven in a field? He davened in a field. So Tosus says two teirutzim. One is that was Har HaMoriah. That wasn't a field, it was a mountain of what's it called Har HaMoriah, and the Bach and the Taz say, and Har HaMoriah had mechitzas around it. So it wasn't an open place. It was a place with a wall around it. And the Levush says that since there was a special reason why that place was special, that even if it's an open place, you can daven there. But if there's no special reason why Dafka, that place, then you shouldn't daven in an open place. Okay. Even if it doesn't have mechitzas, if it's a special place, right, to hear the what? Yeah, it could be. And if it's also maybe also something similar like that. Another shot they say is that a bika, the only reason you can't daven in an open place because we're afraid people will come by and disturb you, right? And but by Yitzchak, there was nobody walking by there. It was Har HaMoriah. It was a mountain that was totally separated from civilization, and therefore people weren't going to bother him. Why is it a chatzuf? Right? Why it's a chutzpah if you daven in a place that's not sanua? Why is it a chutzpah if you daven in a place where people can interrupt you because you're showing that you don't think you can be interrupted? I can daven so well that nobody will interrupt me. That's a chutzpah. The Taz says also because it's tznius. It's only not sanua if other people are around. But if nobody's around, then it's not sanua to daven in a field. But if people are around, they see you davening in a place that's open, that's already not sanua. The Otzer HaGaonim says, therefore, a person shouldn't daven in public, right, out in the street, because it's what's it called, it looks like, you know, you're Yehura. So, according to that, you shouldn't daven in the airport, right, in a way that people see you're davening. Maybe that's a good reason why you should go to a telephone booth and make you look like you're making a call, and not, you know, but on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't daven in an open place, unless it has mechitzas, but the Magen Avraham says that people traveling are definitely allowed to daven in the field. That's where you can daven. So it could be in the airport, the same thing. Since you're a traveler, you can daven in the airport too. But even there, could be since you have another option, that you shouldn't have to daven where everybody sees that you're davening. You can do it in a more tzanua way. So maybe you should do it in a more tzanua, go into a telephone booth or whatever, go into a side, don't daven in the middle of the concourse of the place. Okay, hadron lechein omdim, hadron lechein omdim, hadron lechein omdim. Tomorrow we'll start the next paragraph.